So, Adil, I want to talk with you about this idea about having a fulfilling life. Everybody wants to make their dreams come true, wants to express their passions and their ideas, wants to live their dharma. Of course, that's one of the basic needs, is to love our life and have a fulfilling life. I've heard you say that to do this, you have to cultivate two things. And these two things seem like complete opposites. The first thing I've heard you talk about is cultivating strength and power in one's life. The other thing you've talked about is having a relaxed equipoise, a calm and focus. Now, these two seem like polar opposites, so how do we balance these two, and how do they work together to help us make our dreams come true?
Actually, there are three forces that we need to deal with to make our dreams come true. The first is a precursor to all three, and that is the determination that this is your dream. Because most people's dreams are not their dreams. They're the dreams of their fathers and mothers and uncles and aunts and society and television and newspapers and magazines. So they're not their dreams. So we need to make sure that what we are looking at is truly our own dreams. And that is the first determining factor. Truly looking at ourselves and deciding, this is really what I want, not what I've been told I want.
How does a student distinguish those two and begin to sort them out?
The only way to do that is by knowing yourself. So it's very interesting that yoga gives us the means for dharma discovery as well as the means for living dharma. So as you do the practice of yoga, you get to discover yourself more. You get your mind to be quiet so you can listen to your own voice. You start to feel the importance of getting to know yourself, getting to understand what are your thoughts and what are the thoughts of society, what are your thoughts and what are the thoughts of your parents, what are your thoughts and what are the thoughts of your friends. So the clarity that comes to us comes from the practice of yoga. So that is the first step. The second, of course, is the three things that we need to cultivate. The three things are power, so we can make things happen, love, so that we can be connected to truth, and the wisdom, so that we can know what we are doing. Those are the three primary forces. And those are the three forces that Sri Aurobindo talks about as the triple soul forces in Savitri.
Let me talk about the first one with you for a little bit. When you talk about power, a lot of people, I think, maybe are a little bit afraid of the concept of being powerful or cultivating power. I think people think of it in terms of force or drive. So what do you really mean and by power? And what do you see in the world? You travel around a lot and you're teaching all over and seeing so many different students. How do you see people understanding this concept or misunderstanding this concept?
Right. The whole concept of power is, in yoga, in Purna Yoga especially, is the amount of power you need to live your dharma. It is not the power that aggrandizes the ego. It's not the power that makes you feel special. It's not the power that makes you be able to do stuff. It's the power that you need to do stuff which takes you closer to your spirit. So the power is conditioned by dharma. The amount of strength you need, the amount of virility you need, the amount of passion you need is conditioned by the aims of your spirit, why you are born. And that is the prerequisite to the cultivation of power. You have to know where the power is going.
So it sounds like you're saying if someone's dharma is very to do something not as grand, they're not going to need as much power?
Yeah, but they will still need power because power is the energy behind action. No one is here to just sit. We are here to work, to act. So everyone needs power. Everyone needs the energy behind action. So if you think about power in yoga, versus action.
You've also mentioned the concept of having an inner calm, a state of relaxation. You talked once about how, or else people have heard of the stories of the great yogis who never get flustered. I think you referred to this as samatha.
Yes.
What's going on for that great yogi who never gets flustered, and why is that important to fulfilling one's path in this conversation we're talking about?
The reason why people get upset and flustered and anxious is because they do not have enough of a buffer in their nervous system. So if there's a big noise and I suddenly jump when there's a noise, it means that my nervous system is on edge. It does not have enough protection around it. So it cannot absorb the impact. And this is the same with the stresses of our lives. If the stresses of our lives hit us, and we react immediately to the stress, that certainly means that we do not have enough buffer in our nervous system. So it's very much like falling from the second floor. If you fall into 20 feet of mattresses, it's not going to hurt you. But if you fall onto the road, it certainly is. And that's what the nervous system feels like once you've done a good practice of yoga. It feels like you have a big bunch of mattresses around you, so that when something comes and hits you, it doesn't hit you directly. There's a buffer, a cushion.
Because I think a lot of people think about the image we imagine of someone who has that kind of inner calm. Often it comes from just sort of withdrawing and not feeling, from maybe numbing. But you're talking about something quite the opposite.
Yeah, we do not numb ourselves in the practice of yoga. We feel absolutely everything, but we have enough control not to react to it. The reaction to an external stimulus is a problem in the nervous system. A response to an external stimulus is a function of choice. So when there's a reaction, there is no choice. When there's a response, there is choice. So the practice of yoga develops the ability to choose how you are going to respond to an external stimulus rather than just suddenly reacting to it. And most people simply react, allowing the nervous system to get stressed.
Adil, when you talk about through the practice of yoga you can come to discover yourself. Through the practice of yoga you find the means for living what you discover. Now, you're obviously talking about more than just asana, because I imagine a lot of people think, well, how does doing Trikonasana make me know myself and make me get the power and the peace and the love and the wisdom to live that? So can it come from just asana, or must other aspects be involved?
If it comes from asana alone, then it is pure grace.
Tell me more.
Because asana is designed for you to get to know your body. It's designed to get the body open to be receptive to the energies of prana, or the life force that flows within the body. That is its purpose. So, and the body is a very small part of what we are. We actually have seven different parts of us, and the body is one of them. And what we need to work on is not just the body, but we also do need to work the body, but not just on the body. We need to work on our minds, we need to work on our emotions, we need to work on our connection with our spirit, we need to work on all these different aspects that Sri Aurobindo called physical, mental, vital, and psychic. Because they are an integral part of who we are, and far bigger than our body. But because we have not taken the time to explore them, we think they are very, very small or insignificant. This is the work that we are talking about in Purana Yoga, the work of doing the inner exploration to discover our very nature, which is multifaceted. And then, through that discovery of the multifaceted nature, we can find the core of it, which is our spirit, which is a luminous being.
Is it just that we fell into what is easiest here in the West by attaching to the asana?
Not just whatever is easiest, as much as whatever is familiar.
Ah.
we find the body to be familiar. We do not find the inner world to be familiar. So from all the vastness that yoga has to offer, people grasp onto asana because they can understand it, because it's familiar. And it's a wonderful place to start, but it's a horrible place to end.
So the asana can be the doorway, the entry, but it's just the
provided that the asana is only an entry. If the asana takes on its own energy, then the ego develops very, very quickly, and that's the detriment to the exploration of our spirit.
Because then you would only have one of the three. You may have a physical power, but you won't be offering that power to love and wisdom, which you spoke of earlier.
Exactly. That has happened for centuries with people who have only done asana. They've developed a lot of physical power, but no wisdom. Therefore, they abuse that power.
So it sounds like you're bringing a lot of these topics into your workshops that you're doing at yoga centers in Bellevue in the end of October. You've divided this four-day workshop into two pieces, one that's focusing on the strength, power, and vitality, and one that's focusing on relaxation, stress relief, and that inner calm. Will you just talk a little bit about how those two will work together towards this goal of a fulfilling life? And what if someone only does one half of it? Where will they be left off?
Okay. So when we work on strength, we are cultivating the ability to act. Now, if that is not tempered with calmness, with equanimity, then the strength becomes very aggressive, violent, and shaky. So the strength must be cultivated, but must be balanced with calmness. On the other hand, if you only calm yourself down, then you start to become ineffective. Yes, you have a calm mind, yes, you are peaceful, yes, things don't affect you, but then you can't do anything because you don't have the power behind your dreams. So combining the two is part of the whole process of self-exploration and then living dharma.
Adil, I know in your teaching of asana, you talk so much about principles of duality, where learning how to hold in the body two opposing principles at the same time. So it sounds like what you're saying is taking that beyond the body into our everyday life.
Exactly. We have to move out of our bodies. I mean, we have to take the learning that we've got from the asana in our bodies into our everyday life.
Wonderful. Mona, would you like to ask anything or add anything?
Adil, one thing I would like to add is one clarification on power, is that a lot of people in our world think of power is the feeling that they get after they have a cup of coffee. That gives me power when I have that running through my veins, and therefore maybe I don't need the power workshop because I get it from coffee. So maybe I just need the calming part of the weekend. So I wanted to have you just speak very briefly of that kind of power versus the power you're talking about.
Yeah. So there are two issues here. One is, the first is that the drinking of coffee does not give you any power. And the second is the power that yoga gives you. So let's go over the first one first. When you drink coffee, you feel powerful, but for a short time. In yoga, we are looking at the effects of our actions over a lifetime. So 10 years from now, your adrenals will be exhausted, you'll be completely dependent on coffee, the skin will be dried out, because all that is what coffee does. So it can be an ephemeral, a very quick, a transient boost, but in the long run, it's going to actually damage the body. So therefore, trying to get power from coffee is at best temporary, because you're going to need it the next day again and again and again. Whereas the power that we cultivate from yoga is your own stuff. It is your own latent power which you have suppressed inside, and we're trying to move from that latency into potency, bringing it out into the surface where you can now act based upon what is you. Most people don't even know how much they have inside them because they're so busy in their day-to-day life, they don't take the time to experience. about bringing forth the three power that is your own nature.
So you will be talking about the role of nutrition then in power, in strength and power, and the role nutrition plays in relaxation.
Yes, we will touch on nutrition and the role it plays and the role it does not play both.
Perfect.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us.
You're so welcome. A big hug to both of you.
Thank
and
you.
To you. Have a great week. We'll
Absolutely.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Okay, bye, Adele.
Bye-bye.